The reading is taken from Mark chapter 7, which is on page 1010 in the church Bibles, starting at verse 24. Mark chapter 7, starting at verse 24. Jesus left that place and went to the vicinity of Tyre. He entered a house and did not want anyone to know it, yet he could not keep his presence secret. In fact, as soon as she heard about him, a woman whose little daughter was possessed by an impure spirit came and fell at his feet. The woman was a Greek, born in Syrian Phoenicia. She begged Jesus to drive out the demon out of her daughter. "First, let the children eat all they want," he told her, "for it is not right to take the children's bread and toss it to the dogs." "Lord," she replied, "even the dogs under the table eat the children's crumbs." Then he told her, "For such a reply, you may go. The demon has left your daughter." She went home and found her child lying on the bed and the demon gone. This is the word of the Lord. Thanks be to God.
Shall we pray as we come to God's word? Our Heavenly Father, we thank you that you are the God who speaks to us, and we pray that we might behold wonderful things from out of your word now. We pray it in Jesus' name. Amen. As Tim said, my name is Paul Williams. I'm one of the elders here. I'm also a maths teacher and occasionally come to preach here, and it's a great privilege to be able to do so. We're continuing in this series on Mark that we've been looking at, and we're in this section now here, Mark 24 to 30, that Will's just read to us, where we see this encounter between Jesus and this Syrophoenician woman. I read recently an article about Ang Lee, who's the Taiwanese Oscar-winning director of films like Crouching Tiger, Hidden Dragon, Sense and Sensibility, and The Life of Pi. I was struck that he said this. He said, "I'm a drifter and an outsider. There's not one single environment that I can totally belong to." And so the article went on to say that as one born in Taiwan to a Chinese father, he was an ethnic outsider, as one who studied art very much against his father's wishes. He was a family outsider. As one who has been unemployed for 6 years, he was a social outsider. And so it went on. When in our reading here in front of us, we find another outsider. We find this woman who's a family outsider, who's an ethnically an outsider, who's a social outsider. Just look to the top left of the page where we saw how Mark began the chapter with these Pharisees. The Pharisees and some of the teachers of the law who'd come from Jerusalem gathered around Jesus. So it's these men, these are the men with the power, these are the men with the influence, with the status. But by the time we get to verse 24, we're in very different territory. As we focus on this woman who had no power, she had no influence, she had no status. And it's a great contrast that we have here, and yet it's striking that this woman is the one who displays a faith in Jesus that the religious elite earlier in the chapter never showed. In verse 29, we see Jesus commending this woman for her faith. "For such a reply," he says, "you may go. The demon has left your daughter." I want to look today at that, what it is, the faith that caused her to reply in that way, the faith that caused her to speak to Jesus in this way, and that was so commended by him. And first of all, I think we see her humility, falling at Jesus' feet. Look at verse 25. "In fact, as soon as she heard about him, a woman whose little daughter was possessed by an impure spirit came and fell at his feet." As I read these verses in preparation, I was so struck by the verbs that are used to describe this woman. There are four verbs, I think, in verses 25 and 26. At the beginning of verse 25, we read that as soon as she heard about Jesus. Then at the end of verse 25, we read that she came and she fell and that she begged Jesus, to drive the demon out of her daughter. She heard, she came, she fell, she begged. Now this woman had none of the knowledge of the Pharisees. She had none of their respectability. She didn't wash as they demanded. She didn't eat as they prescribed. She had the wrong postcode. Note that this was in Tyre, outside the land of Israel, verse 24. And she had the wrong passport, as it were. She was a Greek, a Syrian Phoenician. But amazingly, she knew what those religious leaders never knew. She knew that in Jesus, she had found the one whom she needed. And in that humility, it's that humility that she knows that she has nothing, but that he has what she needs, which leads her to fall in this way. So we saw that it was in Tyre. Well, Tyre is, as I said, outside of Israel. And so she knows that she's an outsider to the God of Israel, as it were. And verse 24 emphasizes that. Jesus left that place and went to the vicinity of Tyre. He left the land of Israel. He went to the land of Lebanon, one of the enemies of God. The last time that Tyre was mentioned in the Bible, in the Old Testament, was in the book of Zechariah, where Zechariah said, Tyre has built herself a stronghold, but the Lord will destroy her by power. She will be destroy her power. She will be consumed by fire. Do you see that Tyre is in the enemy territory, really, as far as the Jews are concerned? So her address, as it were, makes her an outsider. But verse 25 goes on, as soon as she heard about him, a woman whose little daughter was possessed by an impure spirit came and fell at his feet. And the woman was a Greek, born in Syria and Phoenicia. She begged Jesus to drive the demon out of her daughter. The contrast in this passage and the verses that have gone before, as I say, is so striking. It's the contrast between the religious Jews and the pagan Gentile, between the many men and the one woman, between a group of Jewish insiders and a single Syrian Phoenician outsider, between those whose lives were sorted and pure in some way, ostensibly, and this woman whose life was so troubled, whose little daughter was, we read, possessed by an impure spirit. To the Pharisees of verse 1, she was a Gentile dog. That's what the Jews referred to the Gentiles as. Now, while Tyre may not be that far from Israel, it was where Mike and Vicky Tomlinson were, you may know, until about 5 or 6 years ago, just north of the northern border of Israel. It was definitely on the wrong side of that border, and so she was cut off, it seems, from God's blessing. The Pharisees came at the beginning of the chapter to Jesus, standing over him, as it were, in verse 5, demanding that he answers their questions. But this woman comes to Jesus, falling at his feet in humility, begging Jesus to help her, knowing that she has nothing to commend her. She heard, she came, she fell, she begged. We don't know exactly what she knew about Jesus. We're not told precisely what she understood. What is clear, though, is that she knew she had nothing, but Jesus had everything. He could even, she thought, drive a demon out of her daughter. And in that humility, she heard and she came and she fell and she begged Jesus. Our world encourages us to stand up for ourselves, doesn't it? To look after ourselves, number one. To believe in ourselves, to love ourselves, to forgive ourselves. And so we come with a sort of sense of entitlement. And we can bring that to God so easily. Like the Pharisees earlier in the chapter who want Jesus to answer their questions. We come almost with God in the dock. But how different it is with this woman. She has no sense of entitlement. She just comes and she hears and she came, she fell and she begged. We need to think less of ourselves and more of Christ. Not to stand over him, bargaining for our rights, but to fall before him, as this woman did, and beg for his mercy. So we see her humility, she's falling at Jesus' feet. We see her hope, clinging to Jesus' words. Do you see it in that encounter in verses 27 and 28? First, let the children eat all they want, he told her. For it's not right to take the children's bread and toss it to the dogs. Lord, she replied, even the dogs under the table eat the children's crumbs. Then he told her, verse 29, for such a reply you may go, the demon has left your daughter. Do you see the hope that this woman had, which causes her to cling to Jesus' words? And Jesus' words in verse 27, you may have noted, don't sound very hopeful. But somehow she finds hope even there, and she clings to Jesus' word, coming back to him as she does in verse 28. I read a book recently by an FBI negotiator, and it was called Negotiating as If Your Life Depended on It. It's never a book I think I need to give never needed to give my children. They always had that sort of sense of doing exactly that as they negotiated with me. And this woman's pleading, as it were, as if her life depended on it, and her daughter's life did depend on it. She knows that she's weak, but she sees in Jesus that he is mighty. She knows she can do nothing, but she's coming to the one she thinks can do anything. And so she clings to Jesus' word, and she needs to cling, because at first sight, verse 27 looks as if Jesus is almost trying to shake her off, to get rid of her. Jesus says, first let the children eat all they want, he said, for it's not right to take the children's bread and toss it to the dogs. And those words seem harsh. The Jews are the children, the Gentiles are the dogs. It's pretty stark. It's pretty harsh. And yet she doesn't fight that description. She doesn't rail against that word. As one considered a dog, she finds hope, asking that she might be given just the children's crumbs from under their table. It's amazing, verse 28, Lord, even the dogs under the table eat the children's crumbs. I don't know if we're troubled by Jesus' words in verse 27. They may seem strange, even, as I say, harsh to us. And if they do, I think we need to remember that they're spoken by the one who was full of compassion to a woman about whom he knew everything. And so maybe we need to trust what we can't fully understand, that these words spoken by Jesus were perfectly suited to draw out the faith of this woman. And they did exactly that. Because this woman comes back, Lord, she said, even the dogs under the table eat the children's crumbs. She clings to Jesus' words, and she sees beyond that apparent harshness to find hope in what Jesus tells her. Maybe her hope came when Jesus started talking about bread in the first place. After all, do you see that she had come asking for her daughter to be healed in verse 26? But Jesus replied in verse 27 by talking about food that was to be eaten. She had asked for an exorcism, but Jesus spoke about bread, and a bread that satisfied. That's what that word, eat all they want, in verse 27 means. Just one word in the Greek, satisfied. It's interesting, it's the same word that was used in the feeding of the 5,000. The people ate and were satisfied. It's the same word that's used in the feeding of the 4,000, which we'll get to in a few weeks' time. The people ate and they were satisfied. And James pointed when we looked at the feeding of the 5,000 to the fact that Jesus was the great deliverer. That bread went far beyond carbs and calories to the bread of life that Jesus, as that great deliverer from slavery to sin, offers. And so Jesus, as it were, in verse 27, is raising the stakes. He's upping the ante. He's increasing the offer. He's talking about a bread that satisfies. Maybe that's what gives her hope. And so she prompts that, maybe that's what prompts that amazing reply, Lord, even the dogs under the table eat the children's crumbs. It's as if she says, the crumbs that you offer are far better than the most expensive feast that anyone can ever give me. A year or so ago, Becky and I were given some vouchers to use in a very fancy restaurant, and we went there last month. It was amazing, like nothing we've ever been to before, but I definitely wouldn't have gone there to eat, well, definitely won't go there again, but I definitely would have gone there to eat the scraps from under the table. But imagine there was a restaurant where the leftover scraps that went into the bin were considered better than anything else that was being offered anywhere else. How extraordinary would that place be? Infinitely better than anywhere else. And yet this woman sees Jesus to be just that. The one without equal, the one whose scraps will feed her in a way that she knows nothing else will feed her. So maybe it's that talk of bread that gives her this hope. Or maybe it's that word first in verse 27. First let the children. Maybe she's figured out that Jesus hasn't come out of the land of Israel into the land of Lebanon to Tyre simply to tell them that there's nothing for them. How strange would that be? First he says he'll feed the children. And she clings to that word. She trusts that first this is going to happen. Well, if first that's going to happen, then maybe something's going to happen beyond. And maybe, just maybe, that something else might be for me. She sees that door that's been left open by Jesus, just slightly, and she puts her foot in, as it were. Lord, even the dogs under the table eat the children's crumbs. She can see that there's a way in which she can receive the crumbs, the bread that Jesus offers. I'm a Gentile dog, she says. I'm not one of God's people. I come with no rights to you. I've no claim on your blessings. I've no entitlement to what you offer. I just long for those crumbs that fall from the table. I come, she says, with no presumption, no expectation, no sense of entitlement, but I do come with a humble longing for this bread and a deep conviction that you alone could give me it. And I wonder if we cling to Jesus' words in that way. Maybe Jesus' words aren't always exactly what we want to hear, as in this passage, actually. Maybe even harsh at times. But let's cling to the words that Jesus does offer. Maybe we've never come to Jesus. Maybe we feel that we've sinned in a way that means we never could come to Jesus. But if that's us, then maybe we need to cling to that word that Jesus says, whoever comes to me, I will never drive away. Cling to that word, whoever, and trust that he will never drive you away. There is hope, whatever you've done, whatever, whoever we are. Maybe we have come to Jesus, but like that prodigal son, we've gone far away. Maybe we need to cling to that word that Jesus gave in the parable. When the prodigal was still a long way off, his father saw him and was filled with compassion for him. He ran to his son. He threw his arms around him and kissed him. Maybe we need to cling to that when he was still a long way off. Know that there's still hope. That this is the father who runs to meet those who come back to him. We won't always find words that we think we need, what we want, but we will always find in Jesus the word that we need. And like this woman, we need to cling to his word. So, secondly, the hope, clinging to Jesus' word. Thirdly and lastly, we see trust, believing in Jesus' promise. Don't we see it so clearly in verses 29 and 30? He told her, for such a reply you may go, the demon has left your daughter. There's this promise, the demon has left your daughter. And what did she do? Verse 30, she went home and she found her child lying on the bed and the demon gone. There's that great simple trust in Jesus. She believes the promise. She went home and she found her child lying on the bed and the demon gone. We looked at the start at those four verbs that described how she came to Jesus. She heard, she came, she fell, she begged. Well, here in verse 30, there are two other verbs that display her faith so clearly. She went home and she found. Jesus had given her the promise, the demon has left your daughter. And she trusts him. She believes the promise and she was not disappointed. She went home and she found her child lying on the bed and the demon gone. So however confused we were by the talk of the dogs, and it is difficult in verse 27, do we see how willing Jesus is to bless, even outside the land of Israel, even to someone who has nothing like us? A year or so, I went to Marrakesh with one of my sons, and as we walked round, we kept on being asked to part with our money. So we'd be asked, a man would come up offering us a bracelet and say, 200 dirham. And we said, no, 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 100, no, 50, no, 20. It was ridiculous. And little things lying around our house will tell you that we didn't always give in to those, hold out against those encounters. We end up buying a whole load of stuff we didn't really want to buy. But we mustn't leave this passage thinking that that's what's happened here, that Jesus has sort of been forced into something he didn't want to give, tricked into healing this woman's daughter, conned into blessing her. We see in this passage how Jesus longs to bless, and his blessings, his promise, are not limited to any nation or language or tribe or tongue. Yes, he came first for the people of Israel, but here we find him outside of the land of Israel, meeting this outsider, a woman, a Greek, born in Syrian Phoenicia, daughter with an impure spirit. And what does he do? He draws out her faith, with words which seem harsh to us maybe, but which she knew to be the very words which drew her to him. She came in humility to the one who longed to bless her, and she gives us a great model of doing that. In a moment, before we share the Lord's Supper together, we're going to say these words, we are not worthy so much as to gather up the crumbs under your table, but you are the same Lord whose nature is always to have mercy. Grant us therefore, gracious Lord. And so it goes on. Do you see, like this woman, we're not worthy even to gather up the crumbs under the Lord's table, but we come to the God whose nature is always to have mercy. This blessing wasn't prized from Jesus' hands, like my dirhams in Marrakesh. Jesus longed to bless her. And maybe we need to remember that. Remember that as we come on our knees to Jesus, we come to the one who longs to bless us and whose abundant promises to us are like wave upon wave on a shore, a bit like that hymn, here is love vast as an ocean. But that's not to say that life on this earth for the Christian is some beach holiday. Some of us will be going through intense suffering, and we know that that is not the case. And if we're not, we know of many who are. I read in the Times just today about a committed Christian man whose teenage daughter took her own life 10 days ago. He said, the family are grieving her loss, but we are comforted in her personal relationship with Jesus Christ. Instead of shining here on earth, she will shine in heaven. He's trusting in Jesus' promises, even in the midst of the darkest of times. It was adversity that drove this woman to Jesus, and so often it's adversity that will do that for us. And notice as we end that Jesus was concerned about her earthly adversity. He was concerned for her daughter possessed by a demon. But he was also concerned with her eternal salvation. He spoke of this bread that satisfied. He doesn't promise to remove the storms. He does promise to be with us in those storms. And he promises to welcome us and to forgive us and to sustain us and to give us rest and to uphold us and to be with us and to defend us and to strengthen us and to pour out his spirit on us and to raise us with him and to come back and take us to be with him. Ang Lee said, I'm a drifter, I'm an outsider. There's not one single environment I can totally belong to. Well, here we see another outsider, a woman, a Greek, one born in Syrian Phoenicia, with a daughter with an impure spirit. But this woman came to be welcomed in the most profound way as an insider to Jesus. She found a blessing even greater than having her daughter had this demon removed. All she wanted was as a dog, as an outsider, to eat the crumbs from under the table. And it wasn't just crumbs that this woman came to enjoy, because the Bible tells us that there are no outsiders in terms of being welcomed into God's kingdom. Later on in the Bible we read, there is neither Jew nor Gentile, neither slave nor free, there is neither male nor female. You're all one in Christ Jesus. There's no distinction, there's no difference, there are no dogs. She was a Greek, but she's been given citizenship in heaven. She was born in Syrian Phoenicia. She's been born again by God's Spirit. She was plagued by an impure spirit, her daughter, but she's been declared pure and righteous in God's sight. She was an outsider, but she's welcomed as this insider. And what a great example she is to us of that humble faith we have. And what a great Saviour we have, who is so willing and eager to bless us. She went home and found her child lying on the bed and the demon gone.